Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. For the second Wednesday in a row, our first half-hour spotlights an under-the-radar programming venture out to serve a specific community in mega-content fashion. In this case, Native Americans via Red Nation TV Network. Founder Janelle Romero joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Wine and the wine universe is the focus of V is for Vino, a series on the move through YouTube and Roku. Your host and executive producer, Vincent Anter, later this hour. Also ahead, a new Spanish language TV player, Ellen Pompeo's new direction, our classic trivia question, and in praise of TV groundbreakers. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Spotify, the iRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and other podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Welcome to you, and especially you, for joining us on this Wednesday afternoon as we continue the first week of year 16 of the program about TV's current and future. 86 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Delighted you're with us. Wonderful guests coming away over the next 90 minutes, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Pick up the phone and dial in, and when you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We've also got a chat room in business and waiting for you to use it. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our own page, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions of speaking live with you. From Red Nation TV Network, Janelle Romero joins us live from L.A. after these news notes. There's a new Spanish language channel in business this afternoon. It's Independent Americano Media, and the format is live news talk radio simulcast originating from Miami. Features include three-hour morning program Buenos Dias Americano, that's Good Morning Americano, and midday presentation Así Está El Mundo, This is the World. Americano Media has lined up Apple TV, Roku, Android TV, and Amazon Fire TV as Charter Smart TV distributors, plus satellite radio operator Sirius XM. Be prepared to see far less of Grey's Anatomy star Ellen Pompeo on the upcoming season 19 of Grey's Anatomy on ABC, far less as in 8 episodes. You can credit that to Pompeo starring and executive producing in a new Hulu miniseries through a Calamity Jane production company. Hulu officials say the project, with no title at the moment, deals with adoption of a young girl with a rare case of dwarfish. Now, quickies, Dancing with the Stars moves from ABC to Disney Plus, takes place on September 19th. 2 days later, the service will premiere Supernatural, not to be confused with the former CW series. That's Super/Natural, the new nature program executive produced by Avatar and Titanic director James Cameron. Paramount Plus is now available on the Roku channel. Elsewhere, LG Smart TV sets are introducing video games provided by Google's Stadia Hub. HBO anthology tale The White Lotus will premiere Season 2 in October, according to Variety. Season 1 earned 20 Primetime Emmy Awards, or nominations, I should say, as 20 Primetime Emmy nominations last month. Season 4 of Selena Plus Chef begins August 18th on HBO Max. Gordon Ramsay and Rachel Ray will be among the guest chefs. Discovery Plus will offer a UFO Night of Terror special on September 3rd. And Urban Beauty Television returns for a second BET Her season Saturday night, this Saturday night. And that is news notes for today. As mentioned in our opening, we had the folks behind Black Oak Television, a Netflix-like service that's been under the radar screen for quite a while, but finally getting out in the open, aimed at and with content created by African Americans. Well, for the second Wednesday in a row, we have a similar service, and this time it deals with Native Americans being featured and crafting the content. It's called Red Nation Television Network. And joining us live from Los Angeles is the person behind the service, the founder, Janelle Romero. Janelle, welcome in.
Thank you. It's an honor and privilege to be here. We're excited to have this conversation.
And it's our honor as well, and we're thrilled to have this conversation at last. For folks who don't know, how long has Red Nation been around, and where can people find it?
So Red Nation Television Network was launched predating Netflix, Hulu, before any other online streaming company. The only other streamer was, if you call it, was YouTube, and they just had silly stuff back then. It was launched in 2006, and it was free for several years, from 2006 to about 2015, and then it went subscription-based. Then we have it's, you know, Renation Television Network is a creative enterprise by natives delivering to all people the stories that shape our world. It's empowering Indigenous storytellers. And, you know, we have original programming. We have, you know, features, shorts, kids, news, all kinds of content, all from a Native Indigenous perspective. Mm-hmm. We're the distribution outlet for the entertainment industry for Native content.
Mm-hmm. Are you being carried on smart TV sets and smart devices, whether it's Roku or Amazon Fire TV or LG, Vizio, Samsung sets?
We're about ready to launch that I think it's going to happen by November when Renation Television Network is a sister company to Red Nation Celebration Institute. And Red Nation Celebration Institute is a nonprofit enterprise that was founded in 1995. And we're the longest-running Native arts and cultural nonprofit in the entertainment industry. And from our institute, we've launched many, 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 many firsts. Before it was cool to be Native, right? Now we have Dark Winds and we have, Reservation Dogs. And so it's really exciting times right now. For our content creators. But so under our institute, we have the largest Native film festival, Red Nation International Film Festival, which takes place in the month of November here in person in Los Angeles and online streaming on our television network. So this is just a sister brand to the institute, our television network. And we have currently literally about over 1,000 new film titles that we're uploading as fast as we can. It's just been extraordinary. And that doesn't include, like the other content that other, like our allies have been contacting us. Like we have streaming on our network, Kiss the Ground, and Netflix also has Kiss the Ground, and that's an environmental film with Indigenous point of view in it. And so it's just been an extraordinary journey to not only be the first with this vision, but to have it be sustainable. Our Red Nation Celebration Institute has been we're in our 27th year. And so it's been quite an extraordinary journey. And personally, I've been in the industry for 45 years. So it's just been this, right now is a very exciting time for our content creators because of the proven fact of the success of, Reservation Dogs and Dark Winds. So I'm real excited about that. And then last night was the premiere of Prey, the new film franchise. So and everybody's giving great reviews on that. So we're and when our film festival opens November here in LA, we've already secured a lot of the top Native films that have been released this year. So it's very exciting. And our award ceremony is taking place November 6th at Paramount Studios. So we're very excited.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that this last year has been a ground-shattering year for Native American scripted series. Dark Winds, who's executive producer, by the way, Graham Rowland was on our program in June, and it's gotten a second season on AMC because of the great reviews and great viewership. There's Reservation Dogs, which tonight, by the way, starts its second season on FX on Hulu. And let's not forget Rutherford Falls, which is now in its second season on Peacock.
Right.
What has the impact of the success of those programs been on Red Nation? Is it encouraging, for example, other Native American series creators, scripted or unscripted, to come to you and say, look, you know, take our show, green light it.
Yes.
What is the impact then?
Yes. And also I just wanted to, because you brought up Dark Winds, we just partnered with AMC Networks. So all that press will be out in the next month in the trades. But so you're getting the first word about it. But, yeah, so we partnered with AMC Networks and Independent Film Channel and All Black TV. So and we're also in negotiations with other networks right now. It's been an incredible journey because having these shows, Dark Winds and Reservation Dogs, from our point of view, in the writer's room, in the being executive producers, you know, native cast, native crew, is it's been a long, long, long journey to get this to manifest, and for it, and then for it to be successful is a whole other level of prosperity and in being inclusive within this industry, to have content from our point of view. And yes, there are many, many native and indigenous content creators calling us for our television network to stream their films. And we're going as fast as we humanly can to get these shows up on our network.
Mm-hmm. Before we pause for a second, since you can you tell us how this partnership with AMC is going to work? Does it mean, let's say, development of new series, scripted and unscripted? Does it mean a program development deal, let's say, with a particular Native American content creator? What is it, as much as you can, what does this entail?
I can't get into details, but yes to all of the above.
Janelle Romero is the founder of Red Nation TV Network, which is available in a lot of different ways and is a service that presents content reaching and crafted by Native Americans. And she joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. And we are just getting started with this 90-minute edition of the program about TV's current and future. Tonight I'm with you from the other side of the U.S. of A., Nueva York, where it is now 86 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Janelle, make a phone call, 646-652-2906. We'll use that chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Second of three episodes we are doing this week. We have another one coming your way at this very hour on Friday. And we have a 2022 Primetime Emmy acting nominee with us as our lead guest, Christopher McDonald. He's up for Best Guest Actor in a Comedy Series for his work as a casino owner on Hacks. You may not know the name, but you certainly know the face because he's had an incredible career, including playing some very interesting TV personalities, both real and fictional, like Mel Allen, the voice of the Yankees and the HBO acclaimed baseball drama 61, Jack Barry, the game show producer and host of 21 in the Robert Redford-directed movie Quiz Show, and even Ward Cleaver in the Leave It to Beaver movie. And we'll talk to Christopher also about one of his newest projects. He's involved in a brand-new Marvel series coming to Disney Plus either this fall or early next year. Chris McDonald, Primetime Emmy Award nominee this year, he's our lead guest. And then you'll meet the chief executive of a new venture that is trying to get more television series off the ground. It's called Entertainment, M-I-N-T. And they're working with Catalyst, the upcoming TV festival taking place this fall in Duluth, Minnesota. In fact, tonight they're doing a special YouTube event together, and Entertainment is going to be the lead sponsor of Catalyst this year. Genevieve Spears is the chief executive officer in mine, and she'll be with us on Friday, too. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Janelle, how long had you thought about doing a service like this prior to getting it on? What was the and what was, let's say, the groundbreaker for you in finally making it happen?
Everything that we've done, everything that we've launched, like our Red Nation Celebration Institute, our television network, our film festival, which our film festival is the largest Native film festival in the country, if not the world, and our Native Women in Film and Television Film Festival and our Native Indigenous Student Academy for Cinematic Arts, all of these things, it's being in the industry for 45 years and having starred in the first contemporary American Indian woman story ever produced in film history. It was called A Girl Called Hatter Fox. And seriously, I got tired of waiting for the industry to be inclusive of our content. So I launched our nonprofit, Red Nation Celebration Institute, 27 years ago, and from that we've grown to this. And everything that has come through and everything that we've launched has been a first of its kind. And so between back then and now, because of the consistency and the staying, you know, keeping our image in the forefront of the entertainment industry, has been able to, I would like to think, have these other doors open to where we do have, you know, shows like Dark Winds and Reservation Dogs.
How much do people pay for Red Nation, and how much of the service on a monthly basis is films versus series?
Well, we have the subscription is $4.99 a month, and you could do yearly. And we have to count everything that we have. To be honest, I don't have those numbers in front of me, but you could go on, you could subscribe and go take a look.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Well, what are some of the top attractions, let's say, in recent months that your network has presented?
Well, we have, like I said, we have Kiss the Ground. We have, in November, wrapped our broadcast live, our award ceremony from Beverly Hills, and so we have that, and we have, the list of new things that we've just done. Oh, my God. We're dealing with right now, actually, we're dealing with networks to be sister partners to, have their content on our network and our content on their network.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're working through right now. But there's the new content we have, you know, the big film that's coming out right now is Martin Scorsese's film, Killers of the Flower Moon, next year. And so we have the documentary that's being, that will start streaming on our network next month in September. And it's really, it's a short, it's a 30-minute short, but it's extraordinary. And it's directed and produced by Oklahoma natives over there, Osage. And, you know, the Pope just visited Canada, and that was, I don't want to go too much into the politics of that, but we have a series called American Holocaust, and it's a 10-part series, and there's 3 episodes up on our network right now of a conversation series with high-profile scholars and artists and tribal leaders and spiritual leaders on the topic of not only the doctrine of discovery, but this American Holocaust. When it's all over, will I be Indian or white? Right, so viewers can go and because that just happened, right? The Pope visit just happened, so that's something that they can go and watch and listen. And we have a lot of Native women in film content up streaming right now, and we have our podcasts. We have a lot. Streaming, so they can listen, the audience can listen, and we have social justice films that are incredible. We have one of the films is an important film from our point of view is Sasheen, Little Feathers, documentary. And there's going to be some news coming out in September about Sasheen and moving forward with some things in regards to her. But Sasheen Littlefeather was the one who, our Native sister, who received the Academy Award for Brando and was booed. And
right, the Godfather.
Yeah. So her film is streaming on our network. I mean, we have so much. We have a lot of conversation series with high-profile Native Indigenous storytellers streaming. We have several documentary features. There's a lot of content. You have to
know when you talk
to
Native American or Indigenous filmmakers, TV makers, what kind of content do they want to do, either scripted or unscripted? Do they want to do history stories? Do they want to do contemporary? Do they want to do a mix? Is it all over the map? What's the sense right now, especially given the fact that we are seeing these shows like Reservation Dogs and Dark Winds and Rutherford Falls not only strike a nerve with this community, but also they're crossing over into becoming major hits with the general public?
Right. We're mainstream right now, right? That's what Dark Winds and Reservation Dogs has done. We're mainstream. And so our stories, our Native and Indigenous stories are untapped. This is just really the beginning, and it's taken before us, it's taken all of our ancestors and all of our content creators that have come before me, before Red Nation, before Dark Winds, before Reservation Dogs, that have been pushing this envelope for over 100 years since we've been making films, right? That envelope has been being pushed and pushed and pushed, and now that the glass ceiling is open, it's broken, we shattered it, our stories are untapped. There's so many stories, and the marvelous thing and the beauty of it all is that even though our stories are the human condition, because we're all human beings, our point of view is so different than anyone's point of view. And I mean that in this sense, is that there are over 500 languages. So when we are speaking in our own language, right, like say Apache or Lakota, the thought process is different when it's written down, when it's spoken. So that thought process is so, so sacred and so magic. So our stories are untapped. They range from all over. I mean, even like, I'll give you an example. We launched, I know there was, may rest in peace, Charlie Hill, the comedian, but, you know, after Charlie there, you know, we launched a huge Native comedy night during our festival in 2007, I believe the date was, at Bud Freeman's on Melrose, and then again at the Comedy Store and at the Laugh Factory over the years, having Native comedians. And our sense of humor hasn't been introduced yet until Reservation Dogs. So now people, you know, non-Native and Indigenous people are hearing our sense of humor and feeling our sense of humor for the first time. And that's really exciting, because that's going to open a lot more doors for comedy, you know, and it's just a real exciting time.
Janelle Romero, the founder of Red Nation TV Network, which is currently up and running, and you can get it for a $4.99 month subscription. She is our guest this first half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised on this special edition of our program about TV's current and future. Simon Alban with you live from New Weber, York, where it is now 86 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment or meeting minutes with Janelle, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have another Primetime Emmy Award nominee this year. His name is Mike Prickett. He's up for cinematography for a nonfiction series for his work on the critically acclaimed HBO series last summer, 100 Foot Wave, which is coming back for a second season soon. How he got into that role of being the cinematographer is an inspiring story unto itself, and he'll tell you about it as our lead guest on Monday. Plus, next Tuesday and Wednesday, one of the great game shows of all time comes back on NBC in primetime. I'm talking about Password, and we'll have a preview of the program with Jimmy Fallon, one of the regular celebrities. Kiki Palmer is the host. We've got executive producer John Quinn and one of Fremantle, the game show producer's key executives, Senior Vice President Joni Day. That's coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Be with us then, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. You mentioned that Red Nation is more than just a network or a mega content service. It's also a film. It's a festival and other things, too. When it comes to this year's festival, are you expecting to see more TV entries, TV series, TV specials, made-for-TV movies, especially now that you have more and more of these content makers going to TV festivals like Series Fest or Catalyst coming up this fall, or to film festivals as well, which seem to be showing more and more pilots made by Native Americans and other communities of color?
Well, I'm going to answer your other question. We have, about the network, we have more documentaries and original content at the moment than we do narrative films, right? And that'll change in 2023. But to answer this question, we've always included television, you know, in our film festival. Have it be like, for instance, AMC had the Sons, and so that series was considered for awards. You know, we had the Mayans. That's been actually won. So we've always included television or the actual shows or, you know, yes, we've always included television. Absolutely. This year is going to be very, very exciting, the nominees this year.
And before you go, your service is getting an honor, a Trailblazer Award coming up at an event in Los Angeles later this month. Tell us about that.
Well, we're blown away because this is going to be our first award. So, we're so excited about it because LNGI is one of our partners. And in 2015, we partnered with American Film Market. And we launched a native film market, right, where it's a distribution arm for native content. So we had this idea of, you know, having RNCI crew and recruiting native indigenous talent behind the camera to get them work on films, right, and television shows. So we had put that on hold. And then when the pandemic hit in 2020, we launched it, and it's called RNCI Crew, and we partnered with LNGI, was one of our first partners, and Cruvy and film commissions all over the country, and it's been an extraordinary journey these last 3 years of our RNCI crew. And we have, you know, the California Native Indigenous Film Commission, and we also launched the New Mexico Native Indigenous Film Commission. And so to receive this award, right, is really, really special because it tells us that the industry is being inclusive. And for the LNGI, you know, especially our behind-the-camera talent who rarely gets recognized or included, this is a big step forward with the initiative of hiring our Native Indigenous crew. Because if the industry is going to talk about diversity and being inclusive, you know, in front of and behind the camera, now's the time to really start looking at the database that we've created with Cruvy and hiring a more diverse crew on film sets and television sets. It's time. And there's so much talent behind the camera. So I'm very, very excited about this award and how it's going to push the envelope for the industry to really look at our talent and hire our talent and take us seriously. And you know, they usually give the award only to location managers. The only other recipients have been Spike Lee, and then this year it's going to be Martin Scorsese's and Red Nation Celebration Institute. So we're very excited.
Again, the name of the project is Red Nation Television Network. It's available by subscription. It'll be coming to a smart TV set or smart device near you sometime this fall. We'll keep you posted on that. If you want more details about the service, here's where you go online, www.rednationtv.com. It's www.rednationtv.com. And again, and we will stay in touch, Janelle, with you about the situation with AMC Networks, and we would love to have you back with the folks at AMC when this deal is announced, and also when you have original content, whether it's script or unscripted, series, made-for-TV movie specials. We would love to feature in future episodes of this program some of that talent and give them their due. Janelle, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations on what you've done with Red Nation TV, and have a hunch that there's a lot more to come from what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate the shout out here. It all matters, right?
You're very, very welcome, Janelle. It's been a pleasure all the way. Take care. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye, everyone.
Janelle Romero, founder of Red Nation TV Network, joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, we have an entrepreneur who not only hosts his own show that's running on both YouTube and Roku and maybe more places soon, but he also executive produces it. The show is called B is for Vino. The person is Vincent Antor. He'll join us live from the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois, after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. It's the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tomorrow on BTR, it's Word of Mom Radio. Find out how mompreneurs, that's mompreneurs or entrepreneurs who are mothers, how that movement is spreading all over the place on the next episode of Word of Mom Radio, tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of this 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Sometime we'll be live from New Web, New York. 88 degrees now at the bottom of the hour. If a question or comment for our guests ahead, make that phone ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up later this half hour, our classic trivia question, three prizes in play. They can be yours if you are first with the correct answer. We'll give you that question and your opportunity to make that answer go later this half hour. Our next guest is the host and executive producer of a program all about wine. And if you just think it's all about the liquid, you are in for a big surprise because there's a whole universe around wine. In fact, there is also a television network that started a couple of years ago that we've had on our show, the people called Some TV, which, by the way, is part of the Curiosity Stream Smart Bundle that we talked about on our series last week. The program is called B is for Vino. It's currently playing in its latest season on YouTube and on Roku. Joining us live from Chicago, Illinois, the host and executive producer, Vincent Antor. Vincent, thanks for being here.
Hey, excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Vincent, how did you come up with this series all about vino?
Yeah, well, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, wine is so much more than wine. It's one of the only things on the planet, only beverages anyway, that really tied to the place that it comes from, I think more so than almost anything else. And I really thought that there was nobody showing that side of the story. And so I was in Los Angeles trying to be a rock star. Sure enough, a lot of other people in L.A. want to be rock stars as well. And so while I was doing that, I was paying my way in bars and restaurants. I got better at it. I started getting into wine. I had somebody say, hey, listen, you should take the certified sommelier exam. And the sommelier exam, if you talk to the guys at SOM TV, you know it's a challenging, rigorous course. It involves flashcards and book study. And just a whole bunch of things that average consumers don't necessarily need. But I didn't see another way to learn. And at the time I started in 2016, there wasn't really many video-based resources either. And so I said, hey, listen, once I got my passed the exam, I became a sommelier, I said, do I have a set of skills that can potentially make a TV show that features, you know, the Bourdain of Alton Brown TV show of wine? And it features the place and the people and the stories and the food and all the great things that us winos love about wine tasting. And it'll make it a little bit easier to understand. And so we have some educational bits in there, but we really try and encompass the whole world of wine.
Was Alton Brown your role model?
He was one of them. I mean, it's probably a little cliche at this point, but, you know, Bourdain was another, just because he really redefines the genre of travel TV. But I remember growing up watching Good Eats, and I liked the science portions of the Alton Brown show. And so in our show, we have something I call the Nerd Lab, where I break down a complicated wine topic, but simply. So it'll be, what is tannin? And I relate it to how you can find tannin in tea and chocolate, or what is acid, or just something that may have been confusing that we can kind of break down simply. And I think that's one of the main things people like about the show, is if you don't know anything about wine, that's cool, because that's why I made the show.
You know, as long as we've had cooking shows on television, whether it's The French Chef or The Galloping Gourmet or Good Eats, et cetera, wine is usually sort of a side subject. It shows up when it shows up. This is one of those shows, and some TV is a network, where wine is front and center, and it's central to what you do. How do you make a subject like wine from episode to episode come alive for the viewer?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, so many of the wine shows that had existed and failed, and it's the reason why you didn't see one on a major network, forgot that the viewer can't taste the wine and that it all looks the same. You know, a food show, you can almost taste it with your eyes, right? Because you know what those ingredients taste like and you can understand it visually. But for me, I wanted to bring value to the consumer. And if we couldn't do that with the visual, because all the red wine kind of looks the same and all the white wine looks the same, we brought value through the educational component and then doing the same thing that any good travel show does, which is showing the stories and the places and the people, showing how to pair. I want people, when they watch an episode, to take away a few nuggets. And listen, you can take away a lot of info if you really get into it, but at the very least, you watch an episode, I want you to be able to know the grapes and the styles of wine that come from a place. I want you to be able to pair it with a few things. So you can take that knowledge and take it to your next date, your next business meeting, just at home. So just really providing value. That's our core thesis.
Vincent Anter is the person you are hearing this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He's the host and executive producer of the popular series V is for Vino. It's playing on YouTube and on Roku and maybe coming to other places near you, TV-wise, very soon. Simon Abba, I'm with you live from wherever you are. Vincent's in Chicago, and we want to hear from you. So make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Second of three episodes we're doing this week on Tomorrow Be Televised, kicking off year 16 of the program all about TV's current and future. If you missed our big 50th anniversary special on Monday, where we had hour-long exclusive interviews with Amy Winter, the executive vice president and head of programming at Lifetime Television, somebody, by the way, who rarely does interviews of any kind in any medium, and Topics general manager Ryan Chinatry, who was with us late last year, well, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check it out. You also go to any of our podcast sites, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and podcastgoogle.com, and our own website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. Once you decided, Vincent, you're going to go ahead and do this series, how long did it take to go from I'm putting this together to I finally have a place it's running?
That's the golden question, isn't it? I always say, you know, measure in years, not weeks, not months. And, you know, I had the idea in 2016. I bootstrapped the first season, all self-funded in some California wine regions. And we released our first season 2018. But if I'm 100% honest, it's not until this season that we just did that I feel like we've arrived. Now, we did some great episodes. We did Ensenada, Mexico. We did Washington, the Finger Lakes, New York. Prosecco, Italy, all those were in the first three seasons. But this newest one is seven seasons. It's all in Europe. And I just feel like we've really kind of found our voice. And it's been a lot of fun. And it's been fun to really, I mean, it's been taking off just tremendously over this last season, because I think a lot of these are destinations that one, people want to visit, and two, that are pretty iconic in the wine world. We go to Port in Portugal, Bordeaux in France, Provence in France, Piedmont in Italy. So we're really starting to find our voice here in the last few weeks with our newest season.
How much of each episode is a balancing act? Balancing the location, balancing the culture of the people in that location, balancing what wines and how wines are produced in that location, and ultimately being able to taste the wine.
Yeah, and that's the whole name of the game. And when I say we found our voice, I mean, that was one of the big components of it. We've now got 16 episodes under our belt, and we can now say, hey, listen, I never want the show to be formulaic, but making sure that it has that blend of food, culture, people, place, landscape, history, that is the real challenge. And then, you know, making sure that the consumer gets value out of it too. So it's not just me showing off these places. It's you know, getting that educational component. But we really found a good blend, I think, between all of it. In fact, if you look at kind of what people are saying in the comments on our videos, that's the number one thing is they say, hey, listen, I've never seen a wine show that struck this balance before. And that's honestly one of the greatest compliments I can get because we work hard at it.
Once you sign up a location or once you arrange a location, how long does it take to tape or film?
So the filming itself is a six-day usually process, 6 days of on location. But obviously the pre-production and the post-production takes time. Now, we've been releasing a season at a time, so one season per year. So, I mean, the short answer is a year. But what we're actually going to do moving forward, and I'm glad you asked this because you mentioned we can be seen on YouTube and our Roku channel, and YouTube is definitely where we're moving our focus. Our old seasons are on Amazon Prime. We're not affiliated with them. We distribute through them. And the new season will be on there too. But the thing about YouTube is that it makes it free, and that's really important to me. I want wine education to not have barriers to entry because that honestly hurts a lot of, you know, lower-income people who maybe want to get into wine, but it's an expensive hobby to get into. And to take the classes that I took can be expensive, and I wanted to kind of democratize wine education. And so we moved to YouTube. It's 100% free now. You got to watch some ads. We have a Patreon club people want to join and support, but we've made it so that it's really accessible, and that's been really important to us.
As you know, Amazon has an ad-supported service called Freevee. It used to be called IMDb TV. Have you thought about putting the program there?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of our next thing. I mean, we're always looking for new distribution channels, but if I'm honest, you know, there's something about the control that is allowed with YouTube. You know, I can put whatever I want. I can talk to my consumers how I want. A lot of times when you go with some of these services, I only get limited analytics. I can't interact with my customers. I mean, a big thing is I have a huge interaction with all my customers and my followers. I always respond to their comments and DMs, and there's not really a lot of ways to do that on some of those other platforms. And so for me, there is something amazing about YouTube where it used to be for funny cat videos, but it's kind of evolved into this platform where professional videos can be hosted there and you can have a really, really good following and make a good living doing that too.
Yeah. And we should point out that more and more YouTube is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And Susan Wysocki, the head of YouTube, and other people will tell you that TV is where it's going in terms of viewership. It's not as much the smartphone, the tablet, the PC, it is the television set that YouTube is happening.
Yeah, my fans watch on the TV.
What is your most favorite location that you've done an episode from?
Oh, man, that's a tough question, and I don't like to play favorites. But I will say we just did two episodes in this season in Portugal, and, man, is that an awesome country. Just a really, really wonderful country. It's affordable. It's accessible. It's full of kind people. The value on your price to wine is amazing. It's a little bit underexplored for Western Europe. It's kind of like a little hidden gem. I think the secret's out, but it's still not quite as busy as your Paris and your Rome of the world. So I'd say that was special. We also did an episode in Ensenada, Mexico, and that was a really special one because people, one, don't think of Mexican wine. That's not a thing they think about, so exploring that was fun. But again, it really comes down to the people. I mean, there's this beautiful community of helping each other grow and helping the region grow. And the people make that place really special. And obviously the food is lights out. I mean, Mexican food is some of the best.
What is the wine industry or winemakers or the leading wine producers? What do they have to say about what you're doing? And if any of them step up to the plate and say, hey, I'd like to sponsor your show or advertise on it.
Yeah, 100%. So we actually operate off sponsorships typically. Normally what I do is I work with a wine board. So it kind of encompasses the whole region. Every once in a while, it's single wineries. And we had some great, amazing, very well-known wineries in the last season, including Domaine Ott from Provence, which is literally known as, I think, the greatest rosé producer in the world. Pio Cesare out of Barolo, Barbaresco area. So we definitely have that a little bit. But if I'm 100% honest, and listen, everybody to each their own, I sometimes am not invited at the cool kids table, and that's okay. You know, there's a little bit of pretension around wine, or at least there can be, and my show is designed to take that away. And some of the people, some of the old guard, don't like how casual I am. I don't wear a suit when I go to tastings. It's not who I am, and it's not what I think wine should be. And some people love it, and some people, you know, don't, and that's totally fine. The good thing about the world of wine is that there's a space for everybody in any capacity you want to be involved in.
Here's a little trivia factoid for you. Back in the 1950s, there was actually a game show that was carried on several television networks at the time that was sponsored by a wine company. The show was called Dollar a Second. It was hosted by the Great Lake comedian Jan Murray, who's also a pretty good game show host. He did Treasure Hunt, the original series, not the one with Jeff Edwards and Chuck Barris did. Everybody that was very controversial, although it worked along the same way. But the idea was you were a contestant. You earned a dollar for every second. You were on the stage. You did all these different games. And if you didn't get the game right, you had to play a penalty. And it was an outside event where if you were still on the stage and that event happened, you lost all your money. But the interesting thing was that Mogan David Wine was the sponsor throughout its run, which was on Dumont, as well as I think ABC and I think NBC or CBS carried it for several years. But Mogan David was one of the first wine advertisers to actually sponsor a program. They would have the announcer, Ken Roberts, one of the best in that time, do the Mogan David ads. And a lot of fun. You can see, by the way, a number of Dollar a Second episodes on YouTube. Check them out. I think you'll find them very interesting. And how Mogan David did the advertising also was quite interesting, too. Vincent Antero is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. His program is called B is for Vino. It is currently running on YouTube and Roku, maybe other smart TV sets and smart devices down the road. And he joins us live from Chicago this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. I'm with you live from New York. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. 88 degrees, almost near the top of the hour. And if a question or comment are remaining minutes with Vincent, just make that call. Use this number, 646-652-2906. Classic trivia question coming up, three prizes in play near the top of the hour. And in our final half hour, we will have a tribute in praise of some TV groundbreakers that have passed away recently, from Bill Russell to Nichelle Nichols, Lieutenant Her on Star Trek, Pat Carroll, a marvelous talent, one of the first women to break in television, and yes, from yesterday, Vin Scully. Plus, an expanded up segment, and maybe if we have time to announce what we want to do with year 16 of our show that we started this week, so stay tuned for that. Any ideas about altering the format, trying something different, let's say, you haven't done before with the series?
I think that's kind of the play going forward. So I think what we're going to do is have our core content, which is our main episodes, and I like the format we've landed at. As I said, I feel like we've really arrived, and we're at a place where we produce a product that is really, really high value, high production, and is really entertaining. I will say with the YouTube algorithm, you have to basically be producing content more often than not. You know, it's not a typical TV show. I did 7 episodes last season. That might be enough. But for someone who's trying to make it on YouTube, well, I have to fill the time in between. I can't release 7 episodes a year and say, see you later, and not talk to my fans. And so we have all kinds of in-between content, you know, little pairings, wine information segments, things that we can do to keep the audience engaged that makes it fun. And the cool thing is that, again, going back to like what's great about YouTube, I can do that and it feels at home at the same place where the episodes live. You know, if I was on a network, I can't produce quick little mini content, 5-10 minute videos, and put it with the episodes. But on YouTube, they all feel at home.
Has champagne been covered as a subject? And if not, is that a possibility for down the road?
Oh, yeah. I want to go everywhere and anywhere that produces wine. Champagne has not been covered, and I've been waiting to cover it in Champagne, France, because, you know, the Champagne method of wine, a lot of places emulate it, but Champagne is the place it originated, and so that's going to happen. I'm actually going for a little bit of a bucket list for my season 5. There's a couple places I really want to visit personally, and I was waiting to do it until I felt like we were ready. Lebanon is one of them. I'm part Lebanese, and I really want to explore that culture. I really want to go to somewhere in South America, Chile or Argentina or maybe Uruguay, and then I want to do South Africa because, again, I just feel like there is a really interesting story to be told there, and that's what wine is all about to me. It's the stories behind it. So I'm hoping we can get to some of those more far-flung places this year.
Yeah. Besides Alton Brown and Anthony Bourdain, are there other TV food personalities that have inspired you or TV series that have inspired you in doing this?
Yeah, it's hard when you watch somebody feed Phil to not be very envious of what a tremendous host he is. He's a little, you know, he's a little quirky. That's kind of the point. But, man, is he a good host. He's really just able to keep the viewer engaged. He's so good with anybody he encounters. You know, I try and have a balancing act when I'm doing my interviews between how do we get information out of this, how do we go through the tasting and the wines that obviously we need to feature, but at the same time having fun. And I look at somebody do it like Phil so effortlessly. By the way, the show is on Netflix, Somebody Feed Phil. He's getting a free plug today. But it's just he does it so, so beautifully. So he's always been one that I've looked up to. Again, hard to, you know, I go back, I still watch all the Bourdain reruns, not only from a hosting perspective, but the Bourdain episodes were often directed by different people per episode. And so every episode has a different feeling. And it's really, really, if you're into TV, you can kind of spot that a little bit. And they blend the music and the cinematography with the show so well. So it's something I still go back to as a reference and try and say, okay, what can I steal from that? What can I take from that?
And for those who don't know Phil Rosenthal is, he's the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond, a long-running sitcom on CBS with Ray Romano. He also did a series for HBO about selling the concept to Russian television. We actually had him on live at HBO offices here in New York at Bryant Park in conjunction with that project. He's a wonderful talent, and his Netflix series is doing very, very well. Incidentally, speaking of Alton Brown, have you seen the new Iron Chef series on Netflix?
No, I have not. Tell me about it.
And we had In Color, the creator of Iron Chef, on the program. He did the original Food Network for years in Iron Chef America. He's doing the new one now. I think it's fantastic. And Alton is back as the host. Mark is the chairman again. More interesting challenges, more interesting Iron Chefs, bigger studio, a lot of surprises. And I understand it's doing quite well at Netflix, and hopefully it'll go into a second season there.
Beautiful. Yeah, and what's amazing is you have kind of this, you know, all those amazing icons from, you know, the old guard, quote-unquote, Food Network and all those. And then what you're also seeing is a lot of people doing on their own. So TasteMade as a network is huge for food and wine content. And they're not, you know, on any of the traditional networks or channels. They do everything digitally. They have their own app. They're seen on some, you know, Roku channels and some Sling channels, but same thing with Bon Appetit magazine. It's really amazing how you're seeing all these kind of emerging stars. And to me, it's just more, you know, we've never been in a better spot in 2022 to get good, engaging content. There's so much of it out there. In fact, it's almost a problem because you don't know what to watch.
And you also have smart TV distributed services like TasteMade. Bon Appetit, I believe you mentioned, has its own channel as well. So Yummy. The person behind that, Sharon Richter, was on our show last year, as well as Condé Nast programming too. So there are quite a few. As I mentioned, Some TV, the All Wine Network or Wine Culture Network. So there's a lot of people now getting in, thanks to smart TV sets and devices and YouTube. A lot of people getting into the game.
Yeah, 100%. It's a great time to be alive as a content creator. I always say I couldn't have made my show 10 years ago. How am I going to get in the room as a guy with an idea with a Food Network or a Discovery Channel? I'm blessed that I was born in this time period where the technology is there, not only distribution, but the technology is there from a film perspective. We're a small crew. We're four people, and we produce something that's on par with, in my opinion, any of the shows out there, because I used to have to need a crane to get the shot of the city. Now I take a little $200 drone and fly it up there and get these beautiful shots. I mean, we're really lucky to be able to do what we do.
Mm-hmm. Final question for you, Vincent. Is there a second series in your back pocket that at some point you want to do?
Yeah. Listen, if I can somehow find the time in the day, entrepreneurship is, you know, the team is small. It's me, my wife, and a couple crew that we hire. So it is, if I can find the time, I have a lot of stuff I'd want to do, including like a cooking show that is a wine-based cooking show. So everybody cooks, and then you mentioned earlier, the wine's always an afterthought, right? But wouldn't it be cool if you started with the wine and then you cooked based off what your wine is, which is how I do it at my house. You know, I cook a lot, and I'll pick the wine first, and then I'll say, okay, what can I make that'll pair? So there's some studio shows that I have in mind, but I'm got my hands full with Bees Trevino for now anyway, but hopefully I'll get to the point. Maybe I'll be the next, you know, Taste Nate or Condé Nast, and I can have 10 shows.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see. And in the meantime, you can see Bees Trevino now on YouTube and on Roku, both available. Roku is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Roku, same thing. And if you want to know more details about the show online and Vincent Square with it, here's where you go. Beesforvino.com. It's Bees Trevino, all one phrase, Beesforvino.com. Bees Trevino, again, running on YouTube and on Roku and maybe on other smart TV sets and devices not too far down the road. Vincent Anter, joining us live from Chicago, host and executive producer. Thank you again for joining us. A pleasure all the way. Good luck with many more seasons of the show, and hopefully much, much more in the worlds of food, wine, et cetera, et cetera. Women in Song 2 along the way. Vincent, are you there?
Oh, hey, sorry. I cut out a bit. Thank you so much for having me. Hey, you're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to television. So I appreciate you taking some time and sitting down to chat.
Thank you so much, Benjamin. We appreciate having you with us. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. Take care.
Thank you.
Vincent Anter from Bees Trevino, joining us live from Chicago. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. We introduced the question last week, in fact, a week ago, and we're still waiting for our latest winner, and that winner can be you. And if you win, first being with the correct answer, here's what you get. Two wonderful best-selling books, The Unexpected Danny Green by recent TWBT guest Phil Friedman, and the wonderful Flirting with Fame by PR guru Dan Harari, who was also with us a few weeks ago. And both books, along with the Loud House Christmas card set from Nickelodeon, all three can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Complete the name of this Cartoon Network hit series. Hi, hi, blank, blank. Complete the name of this hit Cartoon Network series. Hi, hi, blank, blank. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First with the correct answer, you win. If you're a previous winner, do not enter because you're not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we post the question first thing tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. One more time, here's the question. Complete the name of this hit Cartoon Network series. Hi, hi, blank, blank. That's two words you have to fill in. Hi, hi, blank, blank. And again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Get your entry in today. Use your trivia smart quick. Why? Because that's how you get in to win. And, of course, all the very best. When we come back in our final half hour, we'll have some thoughts and praise of some great TV groundbreakers. Bill Russell, Nichelle Nichols, Pat Carroll, and Vin Scully, who have passed away over the last couple of days. Plus, we'll have an expanded up segment. We'll tell you about another service that has been around for quite a while aimed at Native American content makers. Plus, we'll update you on two shows that we covered on recent episodes, Moonhaven and the Gordita Chronicles, and what's happened with them on AMC and HBO Max, respectively. And if we have time, what's ahead for this 16th year of this program? All that after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Close Up Radio. It gives you a close-up on what's happening in the world of health and medicine. That's Close Up Radio tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best to be charged 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised, and welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Tommy Abbott, I'm with you live from New York, 88 degrees at the top of the hour, very, very sunny, but not as humid as it was a little bit. It's a little much less humid than it was yesterday, and we are expecting at least a couple of maybe heat wave days coming up, at least Thursday and Friday, and we may get some showers also, hopefully not. And we want you to participate in the show with your questions and feedback, so give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number good anyway, your catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Plus, we've got our chat room in business, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So we'd love to hear from you. And also, while the promo is on the air, you can make the connection with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon spot on your Blog Talk Radio speaker tune-in screen. Follow the instructions. Let's be live with you. More and more, we are saying goodbye to a group of people who really have been, in the first couple of decades of television, been groundbreaking, who set the medium on a great path. Three of those groundbreakers passed away within hours of each other on Sunday afternoon. The brilliant Boston Celtic ball player and later player coach Bill Russell, Nichelle Nichols, Lieutenant Uhuru, the iconic character on Star Trek, first the TV series and the movies and the sequels and so on, and a woman who a lot of people don't know about named Pat Carroll, who was one of the first women to break into television, both in drama and in comedy. And boy, what a career she had in the medium. And then yesterday, we all got the news that probably the greatest baseball sportscaster ever, and I would say the greatest sportscaster and play-by-play ever, Vin Scully, passed away at the age of 94. So I want to take some time in this final half hour to talk about each person's contributions and why they were TV groundbreakers. Let me start with Bill Russell. Bill was one of the great ball players of all time. If there was a Mount Rushmore for basketball, pro basketball players, he would be there, not only as being a player but a coach. And what he did on that court in the Boston Garden will never be duplicated. And why he's a TV groundbreaker is that he was, I believe, the first commentator, analyst of color on coverage of pro basketball and maybe coverage of sports, period. ABC was the person that gave Bill Russell the opportunity to do so on their Sunday afternoon games of the NBA. I used to watch them with Keith Jackson or Chris Schenkel and Russell. And Russell was a straightforward, no-nonsense, he saw it, you got the commentary. And he did it in a calm, cool, and collective manner. Just like he did, he let his work speak for himself on the court, his work in civil rights speak for itself off the court. And on the air, he was an amazing talent. He was a giant. He would give you straightforward commentary about what was going on the court. He wouldn't wait. He'd do it in a calm, collective, solid manner. And he had that wonderful laugh when he got a humorous point in. He later did commentary for NBC and CBS and commentary for TV and TNT when they got into the NBA. Bill was someone who was a giant in humanity, and his TV work showed that. And then there's Nichelle Nichols. She could have had a fantastic career as an actress, singer, dancer on stage and in movies. And in 1963-64, she made her TV debut with a series by the creator of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry, the series he did before called The Lieutenant. It ran a season on Saturday nights. Gary Lockwood was the lieutenant. Robert Bourne was superior. And Nichelle, along with Don Marshall, who later would be famous as a co-star of Land of the Giants in the late 60s, did a marvelous episode about racism, which had one of the first ideas of a racial love affair African-American with African-American depicted on a television series and depicted honestly and forthrightly. And then, a season or two later, Nichelle became Lieutenant Uhura on Gene Roddenberry's breakthrough of a series, Star Trek. Some of you may know the story by now that Nichelle wanted to leave the show at the end of the first season. And then she met Dr. Martin Luther King, who said, and I'm paraphrasing, don't leave. You are showing what our race is all about and what humanity is all about in your role. You are a role model. Don't give up that role model. And she didn't, and it set her career in fast motion for the rest of her life. Nichelle was a terrific talent. If you've seen clips of her dance or sing, including on Star Trek singing, she had a fantastic voice, and she never regretted not quitting that series. As for Pat Carroll, Pat was one of the first women to break into television, both in anthology TV dramas and in comedy. She never highlighted her own series, but she was a co-star on some, and in the mid-1950s, she joined Sid Caesar and Howard Morris and Carl Reiner on the award-winning series Caesar's Hour. It was the sequel to Your Show of Shows that Caesar had done so well on NBC with his partner at the time, Imogene Coca. Carol was a sensational comic sketch comedy, took to it easy, and won an Emmy Award for supporting actress in a comedy series. Carol stayed with the show and got two more Emmy nominations in the run of Caesar's Hour, which was three seasons on NBC. Carol, in time, expanded her career to do one-woman shows on Broadway like Gertrude Stein, and she was also one of the first women to be featured on primetime game shows like The Price is Right, like Password, and daytime game shows also, like the $10,000 Pyramid. Pat could play a game show like nobody's business. I might also add You Don't Say was another one of her shows that she was regular on. And that expanded her career and notoriety. She also had that wonderful, funny laugh and that offbeat sense of humor. And even in the down times, Carol was able to expand her career through stage, through film, and ultimately carve out a whole new career for herself as a voiceover talent on TV shows and later movies, including some Disney Pixar films. You can still see some of Pat Carroll's work on YouTube, and it really is remarkable what she did and how she did it, her way. And then there's Vin Scully. Again, if there's a Mount Rushmore for TV sportscasters, whether for a specific sport or all around, Vin Scully has to be there, no question about it. Vin had a sensational gift, whether he showcased it for over 60 years with the Los Angeles Dodgers, first with the Brooklyn Dodgers in the 1950s, and then when they moved to L.A., the Los Angeles Dodgers, on both radio and television, or nationally on NBC's Baseball Game of the Week opposite Joe Graziola, or in a decade-long career with CBS Sports, covering the National Football League, covering golf, tennis, and other sports. Vin was a master at being your friend, your guide to the action. He never got in the way of a game. He made you enjoy the game naturally because he came to you as a friend. He felt that it was a gift for him to be with you, the viewer or the listener. And if things were getting a little boring, he could come up with a story, a reminiscence about the game, about the players, about culture in the city where the game took place, whether it's home or away. And he did that with his national broadcasting work too. And Vin seemed to be, particularly in baseball, at the right moment for some of the greatest moments in the history of the game, whether it was Hank Aaron hitting the home run that broke Babe Ruth's record, or whether it was Kirk Gibson hitting the big ninth-inning home run, that walk-off, as we now call it, home run, in the first game of the World Series that the Dodgers ultimately won. And it's said that when Vin Scully had a moment like that, he would turn away from the microphone because he didn't want to get in the way of the crowd's reaction to those historic moments. Vin was someone who could not only do sports, he could do other things too. For over a year, he did a game show at 10 a.m. in the morning on NBC called It Takes Two, and he was just plain wonderful. And for a number of years, he also did his own talk show, either locally or nationally. Vin was a good interviewer. He was somebody who could get along with a player or a celebrity in film or television. He was that kind of communicator. In fact, I don't consider, personally, Vin Scully a sportscaster. I consider him a communicator of the highest order. And no matter what he did it with class. He did it with language that was amazing and oftentimes very poetic, and not making it poetic, and making it always in the moment and worth the moment. He was a great listen. He was a great watch. And if you wanted to have someone document for all time a great sports moment, no matter what the sport, Vin Scully was your man. I understand that with his passing, he's being reunited with the love of his life, who passed away last decade. And I'm sure that he is, as we speak, up in heaven, reminiscing with his field of dreams, the great baseball legends of the past that he had the opportunity to cover, like Roy Campanella and Jackie Robinson and so many others. Again, if there is a Mount Rushmore constructed somewhere in this country for sportscasters, either baseball or generally, it won't be a Mount Rushmore without Vin Scully. If there is a Mount Rushmore for basketball talents in television, on and off the court, Bill Russell has to be there in that gathering. And when it comes to iconic people in television who broke ground their way, Nichelle Nichols and Pat Carroll, they should be right at the top because they were top people in their time. And all four of them will be very, very missed, and all four of them will continue to live on as great role models for the rest of us. And that's the way it ought to be. And now time for an expanded version of Up as an update. It's a regular feature we do on this program, for those of you that are new to it, where we catch up on guests and topics on this program. First of all, in the 15-plus years we have done this program, we have never done a Up segment about something that happened earlier in the program. But we're going to break that with what we did in our first half hour with Red Nation Television Network. Believe it or not, there is another full-time programming service aimed at Native Americans, featuring content, material, featuring them and crafted by them. It's called FNX, First Nation Experience. And in fact, we were one of the only shows, radio or television, covering this medium that covered them. It all started back in 2014 when a PBS station in California received a multi-million dollar grant to launch a Native American television service, non-commercial. Several years after that grant was received, that network went on the air, FNX, First Nation Experience. And a few years ago, we had the founder and chief of that service, a man named Frank Blanquet, B-L-A-N-Q-U-E-T. Terrific talent. At the time, First Nation Experience was only seen in a number of locations, usually as a multicast channel on local public television stations in places like Chicago, the Midwest, and a couple of cities around the East Coast, and a few in on the Rocky Mountain states in California. We recently checked back in with FNX, and lo and behold, it is now playing either as a multicast channel or through smart TV sets and devices in more than 20 states nationwide. And I'm happy to announce today that coming up a week from Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, that's August 15th, the Ides of August, Frank Blanquet will be back with us to talk about where First Nation Experience is at, and like we did with Janelle Romero from Red Nation, to find out how this incredible ground-shattering surge of new scripted TV series involving Native Americans, Dark Winds, as well as Reservation Dogs, which once again is now playing its second season on FX on Hulu, and River Falls on Peacock. How they're doing and whether they will be commissioning original content. So be sure to be with us on August 15th. By the way, that day will be on 1 hour later than usual, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and Frank Black will be one of our guests on that edition. Last month, we also showcased two series, one on AMC Plus, a science fiction epic called Moonhaven, 6 episodes, put together by Peter Otko, who was involved with an AMC series that drew a very big cult following called Lodge 49. He was also one of the original writers of the popular HBO news satire, Not Necessarily the News, which is one of the first Emmy-winning programs. And we also showcased a series that premiered on HBO Max called Gordita Chronicles. It came from Sony and was put together by a woman named Claudia Forasteri with help from two people like Zoe Saldana and Eva Longoria, who both served as executive producers. Well, Moonhaven, since our interview with Peter Otko, has gotten a second season order from AMC+. It will be back next year with another 6 episodes. However, Gordita Chronicles last week got the news from HBO Max that because of a change in policy involving kids and family programming, it will not get a second season. Despite the fact that the show has received great reaction from TV critics and the viewership continues to rise on HBO Max. It's not going down, it's rising. And Sony has been very disturbed by the decision by HBO Max and its parent, Warner Bros. Discovery. That a show that they believe is on its way to great viewership. By the way, Gordita, in case you don't know, is about an immigrant family from San Domingo, from the Dominican Republic, who moved to Miami, especially the daughter of that family, who incidentally is played by someone who is making her TV debut and her acting debut, period. Well, we understand from Sony that they're going to try to put the show on someplace else. And frankly, I hope they do, because this show deserves to have a second life. And Sony, by the way, is exactly the production studio that can do it. Remember a couple years ago, there was the Hispanic-Latino reboot of One Day at a Time with Justin Machado and Rita Moreno? Great reviews. Netflix loved it, ran 3 seasons on Netflix, and was taken off Netflix after 3 seasons, in spite of the fact that we learned that Netflix, that Nielsen, let us know in a press conference here in New York, a press briefing, that One Day at a Time, the viewership was going up, not going down, contrary to what Netflix was saying at the time. Well, Sony was very successful in putting One Day at a Time back for another season through Pop TV in a relationship with CBS. So Sony has had success with the idea of moving a series, a critically acclaimed scripted series, from one place to another, and I'm pulling for them to do it on Gordita Chronicles. If they do, we'll try to have Claudia Forasteri, the creator and executive producer, back on the program to talk about it, and hopefully it will sooner than later. If you haven't heard both interviews, by the way, with Peter Otko of Moonhaven and Claudia Forasteri of Gordita Chronicles, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Also, go to our podcasts, whether you find them on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, which is in several places, including Vizio Smart TV sets, Apple TV, iTunes, as well as our website, tomorrowwetelevise.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwetelevise.onpodium.com. I think you'll enjoy both of those. And you can go also to blogtalkradio.com/televised to hear our interview from several years ago with Frank Blanket of FNX. And once again, we will be having Frank on a week from Monday, August 15th, as one of our guests. For those of you that, by the way, tuned in late, Janelle Romero of Red Nation told us that they are working on a deal that could involve program development and talent development with AMC Networks. And that was a big, big coup for us to get that news. We'll follow that story, and if that happens, we'll invite Janelle and AMC Networks to come on the program and talk about it. And if Red Nation decides to bring on more series that are made for the network, whether it is scripted series, unscripted series, movies, maybe movies and specials, documentaries, we'll invite those creators to come on this very program. I have to tell you, the reaction to our 15th anniversary special Monday has been just fantastic. Again, I want to thank Amy Winter, the Executive Vice President and Head of Programming at Lifetime Television. And I can't say this enough, rarely gives interviews, not to mention extended interviews on radio, television, wherever. She did it for us for this 15th anniversary of this program. I really appreciate it. As well as the General Manager of Topic, the Mega Content Service from First Look Studios, talking about Ryan Tenatri, who was originally with us late last year, back with us again Monday. If you missed that episode, again, go to our homepage, go to our podcast site, as well as our website. I think you'll really enjoy what went down on Monday. And as you may know by now, we are now in our 16th year on the air. And one thing I didn't get a chance to say at the end, because we had such a great time on Monday with our two-hour special, that we didn't get a chance to say at the end, was what are we going to be doing this year? What's ahead? Well, I'm happy to tell you that a year ago, we made the decision to have at least one free episode week a month. This year, this time around, for year 16, we're going to make that two three-episode weeks a month. Why? There is so much going on in the world of television, so many things breaking loose in so many different directions, and we want to have as much time as possible to cover it all. So starting this month, we will have two, not one, two three-episode weeks each month. Also, we will be doing more 90-minute and two-hour shows. Again, because of all the different directions the TV is going into, whether it is more scripted, unscripted series, whether it is interactive telehealth, interactive education like Da Vinci Kids, which we featured on the program this past Friday. I'm happy to say the reaction to that show has been just terrific, that particular segment. Whether it is more smart TV sets, smart TV devices, more mega content services, more networks going through those products, multi-channel bundles, next-gen television and what's possible with that, and so much more. So, again, two, three-episode weeks a month, more 90-minute and two-hour episodes a month. And that gives you more time to be involved with our show through smart TV sets and devices. And also, we're out to cause more advertising, to have more sponsors come on the show, and I hope maybe not too far down the road, we can originate the show from a new site where we can have live studio audiences be part of the program. We're looking at a couple possibilities. One is the new Main New York Production Center that hopefully will launch at the end of this year, if not next year, through Signer Studios. If we can get a deal to make it happen at low or no cost, we would love to use the facilities to highlight shows being produced there, as well as have a live studio audience, which can also respond to our guests, no matter whether they are in studio or around the country, around the world. So stay tuned. We'll have hopefully more about those developments as we go forward in year 16. Again, I want to thank both of our guests today for being here, Jonelle Romero, founder of Red Nation TV Network, and Vincent Anter, the host and executive producer of Roku and YouTube series B is for Vino. Coming up Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we got some great people for you. Once again, we have a 2022 Primetime Emmy nominee with us. It's actor Christopher McDonald. He's up for Best Guest Actor in a Comedy Series, specifically his role as a casino owner in the popular HBO Max series, Hacks. We'll talk to him about his amazing career and about his upcoming roles, including one in one of the new Marvel series happening either late this year or next year on Disney+. Then we'll have the chief executive officer of a very interesting new company trying to get more new television series off the ground, quite a few, called Entertainment. They're using Web3, Metaverse, NFTs, other means, cryptocurrency, to get those series off the ground. We will have Chief Executive Officer Genevieve Sears on the program. Genevieve, by the way, is going to be doing a special YouTube event with Catalyst, the upcoming TV festival from Duluth, Minnesota. They're going to be a major sponsor on. We'll be on that event at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, and then we'll have Genevieve talk about it and other things, too, related on our show. And then next Monday on the program, we will have another Primetime Emmy Award nominee, this one for cinematography, for his work on the HBO series of last summer, 100 Foot Wave, Mike Prickett. What he did to get in that role is itself a very inspiring story, and he'll tell us all about it. And finally, from the new revival of Password going primetime next Tuesday and Wednesday on NBC, we'll have executive producer John Quinn, and from Fremantle, the production company behind Password and many other game shows you watch or will be watching down the road, Senior Vice President Joni Day. That's all coming up this Friday and next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, as we continue getting year 16 off and running. If you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up on the episode you missed, go to our homepage. It's there for you right now, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Oh, by the way, I understand that WeatherNext was in our chat room. So thank you, WeatherNext, for being with us. I'm sorry we didn't get to your question. And be with us on Friday. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to have you back in our chat room. Also, go to our podcast. They're available 24/7 for you. Again, we've got Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iTunes, Spotify, Apple TV, the iRadio Podcast Network, Acast, Verbal, Reason, and other podcast sites that we will hopefully have on in the months to come. And don't forget our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. At the bottom of the site, if you have a question on television or yours truly or our guest, put it there. We'll get it. If we use your suggestion on the air, your question on the air and answer it, you, of course, will get the credit. And as always, we love hearing from you. So what's your thoughts about our guests today and their ventures? What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Love to hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, at Simon Applebaum. Twitter, at UBC Simon, TWET. Remember, however you communicate with us, we communicate back to you within 24 hours. That's our pledge. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toews, BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website services are provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. We are back on Friday with Chris McDonald, 2022 Primetime Emmy Award nominated actor, and Genevieve Sears from Entertainment, the chief executive officer there. Whatever you're doing between now, don't forget, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. That's on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, plus all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And don't forget, if you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor. Find out your medical situation. Find out about all the medical treatments available to you, including the Pfizer and Merck pills, and then make a great choice, your choice. And now, in final tribute to Vin Scully, this is Simon Applebaum wishing you a very pleasant afternoon wherever you may be.